Well, good morning.
Oh, yeah. I sort of think we've already had a sermon. Just in those few words, it said a lot. I'm thankful to be part of a congregation that means that much to a young man like Braden. That doesn't happen by accident. We've walked together for a long time, and that's what this lesson is about this morning. And Titus, I don't know if you knew it when you picked out that song, My God and I. That's basically what this lesson is about, walking with God. And not just walking with God, but walking with God so that you might have His blessing. You ever see the way some folks live and you wonder, how do they expect God to ever bless them the way that they're living? And then you'll see other people living and you say, how can God not bless them for the way that they are living, for their faithfulness and their kindness and all the things that God has taught us to live? And people are putting that into their lives, and you see that there's a blessing that comes with that. Let's start in Genesis chapter 5, scripture-wise. I know I asked him to read that text from 2 Chronicles. That's where it says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through all the earth, seeking those who are seeking God, that He might support them. He's looking. God is always looking for those who are looking for Him. Jesus essentially said the same thing to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so here we are in Genesis chapter 5. What in the world are we doing here? Well, if you go down to verse 18, Genesis 5, it says, Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. That's probably about the time when you ought to start having kids, when you're 162. I think you might be ready for them by then. Things were different in this time. And then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. And so all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Have you heard of Methuselah? What's he famous for? Oldest guy in the Bible, 969 years old. Do you remember when he died? He died sometime in the year of the flood. You make of that what you will. I don't know if the Lord took him before the flood came or if he died in the flood. Doesn't say. It just says that Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then it says in verse 22, Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We're reading about a man who walked with God, and that statement is made twice about him. He walked with God, and we're not given any details of how he walked with God or what that meant. The prophet Amos would come along later, and he would ask, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so there was some way in which Enoch and God had agreement with one another, and they were apparently close and walked together. This is what the text says of Enoch. But if you turn the page, at least that's how I do it in my Bible, turn the page to chapter 6. We read about somebody that I imagine most of us have heard about named Noah. This is what it says about Noah. Verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was very sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man from my creator, from the face of the land, from the man to the animals, to creeping things, the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Yeah, I've read this a lot, but that's not the thing that I have focused on before, is the fact that Noah walked with God. But there it is, right there in black and white. I get to this chapter and I think about Noah, and wow, that big ark that he had to build, and how long did it take to build that ark? And then there was the flood, and that flood was awesome, literally awesome and awe-inspiring, and it shaped the surface of the world we're on today. But I miss this part sometimes about Noah walking with God. A simple statement, No elaboration. And after Noah, it wasn't too long before we meet Abraham. And this is what you read about Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Didn't we just have a great lesson on this? Lord God Almighty, we've had some great lessons on Wednesday nights. Summer series is going very well. God the Almighty said to Abram, walk before me and be blameless. And you know that's what Abraham did. He walked before God. And God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. And God made of him many nations, literally, not just the Jews, but the Ishmaelites as well came from Abram. Isaiah and James record that Abram was called the friend of God. How about that? Friend of God. Pretty neat, I'd think, to have that title. We'll get back to that, Lord willing, in just a little bit. But go to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, I read about a young man named Joseph. What do you know about Joseph? What happened to him? His beloved brothers sold him into slavery. Can you see that happening in your family? Don't say anything. We'll just move on from there. But Joseph was sold into slavery and he finds himself in Potiphar's house. He's taken down into Egypt and sold to a fellow named Potiphar. This is what it says about that in chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he owned. He put in his charge. Not the end of the story, obviously. You know what happens. Joseph is doing well. God is with him. And his master sees, Potiphar sees that God is with him. And he has favor in his eyes. That's a great word, isn't it, favor? Do you use it much? I usually use it when I'm going to somebody and I want to ask something of them. I say, can you do me a favor? What is a favor? Well, that's something you ask of somebody when you're expecting that your relationship is tight enough that they will say, yes, I will favor you with this gift of time or effort or whatever it might be. I will fulfill that favor that you're asking, that gift, a favor. God gave Joseph favor in Potiphar's eyes. But Joseph also had a little favor in the wife of Potiphar's eyes. Did I say that right? She was after him, and he fled from her, and she falsely accused him, and so Joseph winds up in prison. So go down to chapter 39, verse 21. Read this. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. I don't know about you, but I read these things, and those guys back in ancient times were great. Enoch was a great man. He walked with God. Noah was a great man. He walked with God. Abraham was a great man. He was the friend of God. And Joseph was a great man. He avoided temptation and the evil that his brothers had done, but he still maintained his faith. And so God gave him favor everywhere he went and caused his hand to prosper at whatever he did. And I get to thinking sometimes that's just ancient stuff. I'm here to tell you, that's not just ancient stuff. You start reading through the scriptures and there are multiple places that I think sometimes we pass over without realizing what we're being told, at least I do, of how many blessings there are available to me by simply understanding and doing what God tells me to do. It's throughout the Bible. You want a blessing from God? There are multiple ways to get multiple blessings. And I'm not talking about manipulating God, please. These men did not manipulate God. They didn't make deals with God like that. They just appreciated God. They loved Him. They honored God. And so they walked together. It's a relationship. That's the way relationships are supposed to work. Two people who appreciate one another and who trust one another. If you're in a relationship just to get something out of somebody, well, that's not a relationship at all. That's manipulation. And some people try to do that with God. I don't think that's why you're here this morning. Some people see God. Have you ever heard it said this way? They see God as a big Santa Claus in the sky. We're going to pray to God, try to get things out of Him. That's what we do with Santa Claus. Get your wish list made up. Santa Claus is watching you. Well, sometimes that's how some relationships go, but not these guys. Not these guys. And you and I can have the same kind of relationship. Is that true? Can you have the same kind of relationship with God that Noah had? Really? Yeah. I think that's what the whole of the Bible is trying to tell us. That's why God sent Jesus to bring us together to Him. So you read all kinds of wonderful things in the Scriptures, but here's something you read in the Psalm 41. And this is another one of those lessons where the hardest part of putting this lesson together was figuring out what I was not going to say, because there was just so much on this particular topic. If you want the blessing of God, if you want the favor of God, there's a lot of things in Scripture that tell us exactly how to acquire them. Psalm 41, verse 1. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to health. Now, I don't know if you're seeing this, but someone to whom God wants to give a blessing is not automatically shielded from the troubles of this world. God wanted to bless Noah, and he did bless Noah. But what do you think it was like living where Noah lived and preaching the gospel of righteousness all those years while he was working and nobody turning to him? You know what it was like for Abraham. He had all kinds of problems as he moved through the land. And Joseph, my goodness. Sold into slavery by his brothers, lied about by Potiphar's wife. He was forgotten in prison for a while, but God was with him the entire time and gave him favor everywhere he went. And so his life was quite livable by what we read from the Scriptures. And so it is here in chapter 41 of Psalm. If you consider the helpless, if you're kind and generous to those who are needy, God says the Lord will deliver him when? In the day of trouble, because trouble's coming. Isn't this how Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount? If you do the things that I say, Jesus said, you're building your house on the rock. And what's going to happen after you build your house on the rock? Storms will come, and they'll pound against it. The wind's going to blow. But your house will stand because it's built on the rock. Because building it on that rock of Christ's word, you find favor with God, and you find a blessing with God. And that's what the Scriptures teach us throughout. It doesn't say that bad things won't happen to us. It just says God, who will be our friend and our constant companion, with whom we are walking all the time, will be with us in all of those situations. You keep reading here. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. You ever thought that you were in such a bad situation? You might die. And God's saying, hey, if you watch out for those who are helpless, if you're generous to the poor, I'm going to make sure I take care of you. But that doesn't mean you're not going to struggle from time to time. Do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him where? Sustain him on his sick bed. You ever get sick and go, why? Go, why, God? Why did I get sick? I try to be good. I go to church. I drink that grape juice. We offer up our little excuses sometimes. It's like, come on, are you being ridiculous? Or do you walk with God? That's what God wants from each one of us. To be in fellowship with him, constantly walking with him, being with him, talking to him, listening to him. That's what God wants from every single one of us. I mentioned earlier about Abraham being a friend of God. But read what Jesus said to his apostles in John chapter 15. We're going to break in somewhere, so we're going to break into John chapter 15 and verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Jesus wants his joy to be in us. The joy of God. Jesus wants to share that with us. He goes on. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I commanded you. How about that? Have you ever read that part about Abraham being called a friend of God and thought, wow, wouldn't that be great to be a friend of God? I'll never achieve that. Now, who would make you think that you could never achieve that when Jesus himself says, you do what I tell you to do, you're my friends. You want to be a friend of God? It's not that hard. Just don't let this world conform you to its way of thinking. Let your mind be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by putting into your mind what God has taught you to do, the things that he says are the truth and the ways to live that are the truth. You want to be a friend of God? You can be a friend of God. Look at what he says. Do what he says. Keep turning in your New Testaments over to the letter that James wrote. James says this in chapter 1, coming back to this idea of trouble, even when you're walking with God. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. If we love God, we will, in fact, persevere under trial. We will stay faithful. We will hang in there. And James says, if you do that, you're going to be blessed. What's a blessing? Are you in control of blessings? Now, you can bless other people. You can, through your kindness and your generosity, you can make their lives easier. You can give them comfort. You can give them instruction. You can be a blessing to other people. But when it comes down to the real blessings of life, there's only one who's in charge, and that's God. And James is saying, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be blessed by God, who blesses greater than anyone else, and more consistently than anyone else, persevere when you're under trial. Talk about blessings. Is there any one particular text that comes to mind in the New Testament? How about the very beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount? How did that lesson start? We call them the Beatitudes. I used to wonder, what in the world is a Beatitude? I still don't know. Okay, I've done the research and all that, but that's just kind of an odd word. But when I think of the beginning of the sermon in terms of blessings, go back there and take a look at that. Keep a finger in James or a toe or a gum wrapper or something in James because we want to come back to that. But I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 5 as the Sermon on the Mount begins and see how Jesus starts this sermon talking about blessings. And these are blessings that are not random. These are blessings that you have available to you through your own behavior. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you want the kingdom of heaven? Be poor in spirit. You can be poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, you're not proud. You're not arrogant. You're not someone who's self-sufficient. You're dependent upon God. That's your mindset. You humble yourself before him. Boy, humility will come into play here in a little bit. Just hold on to that. That's being poor in spirit. Then he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn. Do you ever see what's going on in the world and you mourn over that? Peter would also talk about Lot, whose righteous soul was vexed with the evil going on around him, and he mourned over that evil. And that's what we should do as people who value things that are right. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. I like action movies. There's not a whole lot of gentility in action movies, but that's just a movie. In real life, we need gentility. And I'll tell you, there's nothing as strong as true gentility. It requires strength to be gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be satisfied. Do you hunger for what's right? Are you thirsty for what's right? He uses these bodily senses to get us to get the idea of how much we want something to be. We want righteousness to be. Blessed are the merciful. What's going to happen to them? They'll receive mercy. You want mercy? Be merciful. He's going to say something similar about judgment in chapter 7. Whatever measurement you use to hand out judgment, it's going to come back to you. And we normally think of that in the negative aspect because we think of negative judgments. But what about if you do your best to be positive in your judgments of others? What if you do how we say it in our vernacular? We give the benefit of the doubt. You could say something, oh, they're probably this, probably that. Well, maybe it's possible that they're not that way. You know, it's a lot easier, by the way, I've learned this, to give somebody the benefit of the doubt and move on. That's an easier way to live. There's a blessing just in doing that. But when God puts strength behind that, which is what he's doing here, blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. There's a lot of impurities in this world, and you can fill your heart and mind with them if you want to. But God says, if you will maintain your purity, you're going to see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called sons of God. There's so many blessings available to us if we just look for them and say, you know, I could do that, and I could have all of that. Each person here could have everything on this list that Jesus offers at the beginning of the sermon just by doing the things that he says. It's really not rocket science or rocket surgery, as I remember. I think it was a blonde that said it that way. Well, now I'm in trouble. Back to James. We read from chapter 1 of James, verse 12, about the man who perseveres under trial is going to be blessed. But drop down to verse 22. James says this, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. Once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." You ever do that? You're out in public walking around and you get back home and you're in the walk past the bathroom mirror and you go, oh my goodness, scare you to death what you look like. Why didn't I fix that before I went out? I didn't know I looked like that. Have you ever said that about yourself? I say that about myself every day. But what can you do? There's only so much Bondo and paint to go around, you know. But Jesus is inspiring James to write about something a little deeper than our physical appearance. He's writing about our adherence to what God says. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Who's in charge of blessings? God's in charge of blessings. God looks down. This is what I think James is saying to us. He looks down and he says, look at that guy. Look at that young lady. They're looking intently at my word, and they're trying to do what my word says. Not being a legalist, just trying to understand me, God would say. And they're trying to do what I would lead them to do. I appreciate that. I'm going to be the one who blesses them in their attempt to walk with me, because that's what that's all about, walking with those who want to walk with God. And then 1 Peter. I wasn't kidding when I said this stuff's just throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. I had to trim this way down. This is 1 Peter chapter 3. In the first 7 verses, he's been talking about the relationship of husbands and wives to one another. And if you are a husband or a wife, you can read those 7 verses and you can find out how to make your marriage better. You can find out how to walk with God with regard to your marriage. When he finishes that, he gets to verse 8, and this is what he says. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. You want to inherit a blessing? Peter begins to quote the 34th Psalm at this place, and this is what he says. The one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You want life? You want love? You want good days? There's how you do it. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. What's it mean to pursue peace? That means you're trying to get along with somebody and they don't really want to, and they're not making it easy. Well, okay, if they're not making it easy, I'll just let it. No, pursue it. Keep working at it. Talk to God about it. Pursue peace in your relationships with others especially. And here it is. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. God's looking at you when you're trying to do what's right. You're thinking about him. What does God want of me today? How does he want me to behave towards my mom and my dad? How does he want me to behave towards my children? How does he want me to behave towards my siblings? How does he want me to behave towards teachers and policemen and firemen and cash registers. I don't know how you behave towards a cash register, but cashiers. If you can find a cashier, how does he want you to behave towards a cashier? Everybody you see, this isn't limited to certain people or categories. God loved the world, so he gave his son, and he wants you and me to love the world. And he's saying, if you'll do this, I want to bless you, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to look for you. I'm going to look for you as you're looking for me. One more out of 1 Peter, and then we'll finish this up. 1 Peter chapter 5. He's going to quote one of the same texts that James did. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Why should we do that, Peter? Why should we clothe ourselves with humility? Well, here's why. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives favor to the humble. That word, grace, charis, it's a word that's used in different ways in the New Testament. But when God came to Mary through Gabriel the angel, Gabriel said to Mary, you found favor in the eyes of God. You found grace, is the Greek word, in the eyes of God. And later on, when he's talking about how Jesus grew up, he said that Jesus grew in a lot of ways. But in his growing, he found favor with God and men. He found grace with God and with men. And as Jesus grew, God wants us to grow and find favor with him and with men. So he says in verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may, you see what it says? That he may exalt you in due time. When do you want to be exalted? I'll tell you when I want to be exalted. When my car starts making a noise that I know is not a good noise, I want God to say, oh, Marty needs some help. When I'm starting to get into a fuss with one of my neighbors, I want God to exalt me, not exalt me over my neighbor, but lift me up in such a way where I can see with clarity how I ought to behave in that circumstance and in that situation. I want God to exalt me, to lift me up, to raise me up. When we talk about higher education, this is really what higher education is. It's being exalted by God to the point where you can see what God wants in the world. And it's not that hard, really. Search after Him, pursue Him, and He will give you blessings over and over and over. You read His Word, this is what it tells us. God wants to bless you. Not just by the saving of your soul, but in every day of your life. And so you'll know that when you encounter trials and when you encounter difficulty and when the days are hard and the nights are long, God will fulfill what we always ask when we pray. What's one of the first things we say when we pray? Lord, be with us. Be with us. And He's constantly teaching us. You live like I want you to. We're going to walk together. I'm not just going to be with you. I'm going to be walking with you side by side, step by step, all along the way. You might not even see me. You might not even feel me, but God's going to be there because that's the way God works. These are His promises. Well, are you walking with God today? That's the question as we wrap this up. Are you living the life that you know you should live by faith, not by perfect behavior? You're doing the best you can. You're still going to mess up. That's what grace is all about. That's why God sent His Son to pay the debt for our sin. This is what Mike was pointing out for us in the lesson just before the Lord's Supper this morning. The sacrifice that paid the debt for us. That's for you. That's for me. Do you want that this morning? You want to talk to us about that? You can come down the aisle while we sing the invitation song, or you can talk to one of us afterwards. Just don't leave this place this morning before you talk to us if you need to make a decision for the Lord today. Let's stand and sing the invitation song together.